You can start again.
Yes.
Okay. My note taker isn't here yet.
Who is it?
Emily.
Oh, okay. She may have got it way later. Those things happen. Can't move up front, so then.
Join the crew there, eh?
Brian is one of our students in SACES.
Okay.
All board.
I'm from Alabama, UK today. So I'm flying out here in a couple of hours. But I'm from Iowa City, and this is the same. So I, this is only my second national meeting too, but I've gone to all the regional meetings.
All the regional meetings, yeah. Okay.
Since I've been a freshman, I guess.
Yep.
And I was an officer for SACES this year.
Okay.
So I took care.
Paul, do you have a? Does the University of Manitoba have a club in for agriculture or plant science?
There's agronomy. Okay, so within the Vancouver Bag of Food Sciences, got all the different departments, you know, animal plants. There's soil, ecology, ag business systems, and within those, like they have a faculty of agriculture students organization.
Okay.
So that's a. That's kind of the main student body. And they have a number of roles. I was actually the faculty rep on that a few years ago, so I don't remember all of them. But, you know, there's the president and the treasurers and junior treasurers and all this kind of thing. It's focused probably as much on social activity as anything else. So that would be the main one. And then within that, they have clubs. Like, they have a grasslands club that's kind of an interdepartmental thing. They've got a business student club. They've got probably more than I could, than I even know about. So there's that kind of thing. That's probably similar to what your situation is too, I presume. Or
we have a College of Agriculture and Life Sciences student council.
Yes.
And they, of course, they collect student fees, and they get a cut of that, and they distribute some money, I guess, in clubs. But then there's most departments have a club, the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. There's one for animal science. We have a ground club. There's also a soil and water conservation club.
Okay.
For more, you know, environmental science and soil people. But they don't participate in SACES. But I mean, they would be a club that also could fit the mold. Clubs from Iowa State.
Or you merge. I mean, for these meetings, you're one club.
Yeah.
What we're trying to do today is how can we increase the value of SACES to the undergraduate students. And how we can attract more club interest, and what we need to do to serve our clientele better. What we want to do is, we just elected new officers last night, and our outcomes today is to come up with some ideas to present to the national officers on how to proceed to meet those needs. And then basically to get some idea some of the initiatives we're taking now, feedback on whether they are worthwhile. I'll just briefly explain what SACES is. It's obviously the Society's undergraduate program, but it's a student-run program. We have two meetings right now, generally two meetings a year, the national meetings and a regional meeting. There are three advisors. I'm one of them. As of last night, I became the elder statesman of the advisors. We serve a three-year term, and essentially, I'm the Agronomy Society advisor. There's a Soil Science Society advisor and a Crop Science Society advisor. So my term expires in Cincinnati. And then we have a staff person from the headquarters that really oversees and does the, I guess, lion's share of the work of putting the program together and doing the coordination to make it function. But the students plan, and we do monthly teleconferences so that we can stay in touch and communicate and plan it. The
it's really an umbrella for affiliated clubs. So there's, it's not like, well, you have to be the Agronomy and Soils Club to be part of SACES. Mm-hmm. Whatever university club name, it basically, they are a SACES organization if they apply, if they're a university sanctioned organization, and they pay the student membership dues. So if you're, you know, if your students, undergraduates, want to become members of the American Society of Agronomy or the Tri-Societies, then they really can become SACES right then and there. There's no additional club dues on top of that. It's just individual memberships within the club.
Okay, so just, if it's all right if I jump in then, so like,
yes.
Like I have a membership, you know, within the societies as well. So there's a student membership rate or something for any student to
yes.
become part of
it's like $20 a year,
so
I think it is.
Yeah. But most, I wouldn't say that every student attending these meetings actually are members
no.
of the societies. The
yeah.
club maybe SACES.
Well, when they attend the meeting, they have to sign up, which actually makes them sort of a member.
Mm-hmm.
But there's...
So I'm not sure if I'm paying dues.
Anyway,
it's just a question because
yeah.
that'll be something that'll come up out of this. Is you know, is exactly that.
There's no real major fee if they're. I believe you're in theory supposed to be a student member.
Student member, yeah.
And but if you're a member of the club and I don't do the finances. I guess.
Yes.
But there is a dues thing that gets paid on about the 1st of January, 31st of January. And I think that has to do with the memberships. So all these clubs are part of SACES. It really doesn't matter what they call themselves. Club advisors are those faculty members that are probably already serving as club advisors. And the other thing that we do have is we have very good corporate sponsorship. So when they come to these national meetings, and we have great corporate sponsorship for the regional meeting, for example, Helena Chemical Company pretty well underwrote the regional meeting and did at least one of the social functions here. Crop Protective Services did underwrote the first social event here. So they've really stepped up and helped us do a first class program. And so they're really part of the team. We couldn't do it without their support. So we, as I said earlier, we had one national, one regional meeting per year. A long time ago, they had two regional meetings a year, and then they dropped it to one. We're trying to instill, in some way, shape, or form, going back to two regional meetings, because what we're finding is there's a lot less representation at the national meetings from the Western schools and the Northeastern schools. It was pretty sad last year at Long Beach when the California schools weren't even engaged at SACES. So,
we're very north central U.S.
Yeah,
I would say.
We're Midwest, north central,
southwest,
and then Auburn, North Carolina State, Florida has some here. So we're missing a lot of potential students.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, we think that one reason is that it's location and distance to the meetings, which is why we want to try to bring the regional meetings a little bit closer and maybe divide the country into four SACES regions so that they can have a regional meeting closer to home every other year.
Do the schools have active undergraduate agronomy or whatever clubs?
Well, that's a good question. And
they may not even have the clubs.
We have information, like the University of Rhode Island has a club. They won the soil judging competition last night, whenever it was held. But
yeah, it was last spring in Oregon.
Last spring, yeah.
Right.
And the year before that, their student was the winner of the soil judging competition.
Well,
so
they have soil judging teams, but that doesn't mean they have their growing club.
I agree. So we've got to find out why.
Yeah.
And
maybe what they should do is get the name and address of all the soil send them a personal invitation to the national meeting. An email. But, I mean, getting an email list of the soul judges is easy.
I mean, the students.
Mm-hmm. Because if they don't have a society in their school that's associated with SACES,
we're gonna come back to another concept that we might try to do that may address what you're talking about. So if you give me just a few minutes, the officers plan, a volunteer university club plans the regional meeting. It's really an unfunded, so they have to go out and solicit for sponsors to run that meeting. University of Wisconsin at River Falls did it last year, did a great job, and I think Iowa State's going to do a great job this year in March. So they're really designed to build a spree and competition among the clubs. The regional meeting is really just a social gathering more than a contest type of thing, but it was good professional development. Good to see how Wisconsin dairies work with fully automatic milking machines and a number of other things. It was pretty neat. So they were good draws for the students. What we're trying to do is, I've mentioned, broaden the base, invite the Canadian and Mexican agricultural schools to come, if they have clubs, to join and participate. We do contact the universities that had active clubs in the past. We encourage them to reconnect, and at the meetings I try to strong arm people and find out why they didn't come with their undergraduates. I know in a lot of cases it's money, but I appreciate that they may not have functional clubs anymore. About 20 years ago, there was a big movement of agronomy get split up into soils departments, crops departments, and they don't talk, and I don't think their students, you know, agronomy was sort of a word that went away in a lot of schools. I graduated from the University of Arkansas Department of Agronomy. It's now the Department of Crop Science, Soils, and something else. So, like, wait a minute, what happened to agronomy? One concept that I'm exploring and need feedback on is the idea of a mini regional. What is it, Christine?
Yeah.
What state are you from?
Texas.
Okay. In Illinois and Iowa, every year, it goes back and forth between Illinois or Iowa. They have the Farm Progress Show. Down in Moultrie, Georgia, they have the Sun Belt Expo. In Saskatchewan, they have the
Agribition. And then there's actually something called the Farm Progress Show, which also happens in Regina in June every year as well. Crop Production Week at Saskatoon.
Okay.
It's held every year. It's a big one for Ren. The Rural Agricultural Fair in Brandon is February, I believe. There's actually quite a few in terms of shows and ag. I'm from Western Canada. I don't even know all the ones in Eastern Canada. Ontario, Quebec, there'd be stuff going on there too. It's an interesting idea.
And so I'm sure there's one here in Texas. A big farm show somewhere in Texas.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't believe there wouldn't be.
Yeah. Well, the Farm Progress Show is a working show. I mean, they actually take combines out and start cutting corn or beans. And so, to me, it was an opportunity to bring some schools together in a sort of an ad hoc arrangement. Maybe have a soils judging contest. Maybe have a crop judging contest on site.
I think if you're talking about mini meetings, farm shows, expos are great, but it's going to turn a lot of students off that we also want to. I mean, I'll just say I'm certainly an advocate of agriculture, but when I was an undergraduate student, things like that did not appeal to me because agriculture I did not see as very progressive or where there were good jobs, whereas consulting and more environmental kind of aspects were very important to me, and which actually kept me removed from my agronomy society. So I throw that out there because I think these are great ideas, but you know, soil judging is something that's not so closely linked to driving a tractor, and perhaps just to think about other things that are going on that would attract bright students that would be involved in future leaders of in agriculture, but have some recognition. I mean, the whole reason why the Midwest is so strong is because Stacy's is so like farmer oriented, like farmer agriculture oriented, and a lot of the students are from rural farming areas. I say that I went to graduate school in Wisconsin, and you know, I meet a lot of these kids for soil judging, and in these regions that you're talking about that aren't very active, I think maybe one of the reasons why they're not so active is that they don't identify with farm shows and agriculture as strongly.
Well, I agree.
I don't know what the corollaries would be. I have to really think about that.
The concept is there's an event that draws an opportunity, and these shows are big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Farm Progress Show is the guys that farm 1,000, 3,000, 10,000 acres. I mean, that's what it focuses in on. I don't know about the Sunbelt Expo, but I know up in the prairies, they're farming large acreages.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're looking at the big stuff. But
what you're saying is right. I mean, even in our department, I mean, like the change that's happened there in 15 years is like it's unrecognizable. If you brought all the people back who were there 15 years ago, they would barely recognize it was there. It was basically an agricultural, mainly soil fertility type of department for the most part, and with a little bit of other things.
But
now it goes from pesticides to soil ecology, and there's still soil fertility there, but it's only one component. Half the students that come in, like I was telling you about the grad students that I've had, the two most recent ones are environmental science.
Yes.
They do a lot of soil science.
And we want those.
Exactly.
We want those students in our society.
Don't identify with agriculture. It's not that they don't identify with it necessarily, but they just don't come from that background.
Right.
And a lot of them are, like the two that I've got, they're interested because they know there's careers out there. Not necessarily in the, like, peddling chemicals for a chemical company, but on the environmental science side.
Yeah.
And probably half our department now has that kind of background.
I think we have to be very careful. I never was a member of Stasis, but I came and I participated as an undergraduate in the meeting as a professional with a mentor. And the reason why I didn't identify with Stasis, I didn't want to be identified as a farm kid.
You know, but a lot of the kids, how about you, Brian? Are you farm background?
I am, yeah.
But a lot of the students that I've talked to the last 3-4 days do not
have
farm background.
That's not such a big deal now in Stasis?
No, I mean, they're not farm background. I mean,
all
just aren't.
I'm
from a city. You know, I grew up in a city.
And
a farm in my hometown was split up over 3 properties, most of them leased.
Yeah.
It was a vegetable farm, and if it had 40 acres total, I'd be amazed. So,
the only reason why I brought it up is I think that it should be, that Stasis should be visibly inclusive.
Oh, I think it is, and in its name, I think it is, because with the ES being environmental science, but I take your point that it's hard. It's marketing of the term SACES and what SACES is, which is why
the brand, right?
Which is why my if you would go to the right way, Todd, why that slide was put in here, okay? Because it's just an umbrella organization. So whether you bring the Crops and Soils Club from Texas A&M or you bring the Environmental Science Club from Texas A&M, there's nothing says you can't have two clubs here competing.
You know, we have an Environmental Science Club at Texas A&M, and I guarantee you they know nothing about this. So I'm curious about...
It's an advisor issue. You know, like
it's a faculty issue. One of the things we talked about, it comes down to who the faculty advisor is and how committed they are in terms of
I think
a broad view of the students, and too committed in terms of their organizational. If you're a weed scientist and belong to the Weed Science Society of America, that may be where the meeting that you want to go to.
I think it's because they're in a different department.
and that too.
But we need to find those groups.
But they should all be in the same college, so maybe the people we need to be talking to are at the dean level, at the leadership level. So,
or even just at the advisor level, like Luke's our advisor, and if you were to be asked, like, okay, well, there's the agronomy club, are there any other environmental sciences club? He would know immediately, well, there's a Professional Association of Environmental, NAEP, National Association of Environmental Professionals, and perhaps there should be a little cross-fertilization with that group to let them know that there's an opportunity for them to present their work here at our meeting.
I guess, you know, what a lot of these students don't know is if you trace the roots back in environmental science, there were chemists,
right,
some physicists, and some biologists, and a lot of soil scientists, soil scientists, because between water quality, soils, fate, and distribution of
but chemistry. I wonder in California, you have low participation. I wonder it's because of this issue that I bring up, that there is a club, but they're not associated with the agronomy department.
Right.
And I think it'd be important for SACES, and it would be important for the future of our society to incorporate those students while they're young, because otherwise they're going to find AGU or ESA, and those are going to be their homes. So I think it's something worth thinking about. I don't know how.
So to sum it up, we compete with other professional organizations that have affiliated clubs.
But I know these NAEP kids, they're looking for a home because their professional diversity is so huge that easily a third of them could be soil scientists.
Well, we had 275 students enrolled for the SACES program, which started basically Saturday morning at very early in the morning when we got on tour buses and finished last night. So it's 3 days, feels like a week. 3 day program that is very jam packed.
Well, maybe you could have a committee of the SACES group that, you know, they pick out some different regions and they contact the schools and try to find those groups.
Yeah, we have a membership committee and we'll task them to do that. This coming year.
It'd be interesting if they could pick up some.
It is, because our goal for next year, 275, we had 234 last year, 275 this year. Our goal is 300. And I'd really like to see 320 show up at the meetings. And we had this year our first career fair for the undergraduates.
Good.
And we were, frankly, concerned about participation. And it was like a beehive. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And both the students thought they got a lot out of it, and the employers thought they got a lot out of it for the most part. I don't think either one exactly knew what to expect, so we can do a little bit better there. But it really exceeded our expectations, so we were very pleased. But again, for us to get the message out, I could email this meeting today was emailed to all department heads. Okay, and so
my department head sent.
My department head didn't
meet. He's not here. He couldn't make the meetings.
There must have been something going on.
I don't know. But anyway, and then there's a half a dozen from my department. He kind of went through. Now who can? Okay, so he sent me. He wants to hear. He wants to know about this.
Yes,
he's an action guy. He doesn't sit on his hands. He likes to make things.
What's his name?
Brian Amiral. He's actually he's a micromet guy. Is what he is.
I can't remember who it was, Manitoba or Saskatchewan. I talked to one of the department heads who basically said, "No, I'm this one. There's another department head." So the issue we're talking about, these fragmentation of crops and soils in different departments, and how that affects our ability to reach out and touch the undergraduate students.
Well, when you said something about the deans, I mean, certainly in Saskatchewan, Manitoba, even Alberta, if you were to go after and talk about clubs and stuff like that, going to the deans would just take you up to a level where you're going to get kind of a broader coverage right across all that stuff. If you want that identification, and I know the deans, I don't know the dean in Alberta, but I know both Saskatchewan and Manitoba deans, and they are also types of people that would say, oh, that's
something. I don't know if our dean would be very helpful.
Yeah, so it'll vary by location, but it gets around the departmental fragmentation business because there's somebody overarching the whole thing. That would be effective with a lot of schools, probably in Guelph.
It was kind of interesting because I know Canada has an interesting approach. You have a lot of, like Brandon is really a 2-year program that feeds into, and I know like at, I think it's Kelowna, Penticton, and BC, the University of British Columbia at Penticton is really a 2-year feeder school.
It's a feeder program, is what it is.
Yeah.
There's a few of those.
So we actually reached out. I want to say King's College in Ontario, but I think that's wrong. But there's a sort of in Western Ontario, there's a college that said it had an ag program.
Okay.
Going through trying to find ag schools in Canada is a challenge. I mean, obviously we know about
agriculture is disappearing off the map. People don't like it in the names anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a huge fight, University of Saskatchewan, my alma mater. I think it's agriculture and bio resources that they came up with. They didn't want agriculture in the name. They had an open revolt amongst the
like the soil sciences. If you want to do like technical soil sciences, you should really, like point it towards the biogeochemistry and say that this is what you're doing.
And
even though you want to do applied soil science.
Yeah, you won't find soil science as well. You won't find it in Alberta. You won't find it at the University of British Columbia anymore. Soil science has disappeared out of the names. Agriculture is disappearing. So there is a bit of an identity crisis. I think the students that come in there, I mean, the reason there was such a fight in Saskatchewan is that it's been pumping out ag grads for like decades, and so all these old guys are back there complaining about the name because that's what they identify with. The new students, you rename the college or whatever, and they come in, you don't identify with that word anymore.
Right.
You know, and so you lose some of that.
Yeah.
And you lose it very quickly because that's your undergraduate student that turns over every 4 years, you know.
And I think sometimes too, when you do that, you lose support from the alumni, so you get that money.
Oh, I know. All kinds of things go with that. So.
But I think SAFES could have a huge impact on the schools, and not just going after agronomy clubs anymore.
Well, I agree. In fact, now I come from an 1890 land grant, so which in the U.S. is a historically black college or university.
Yeah.
And we have a manners program, which is minorities in agriculture, but there's hardly any plant science, and they're mostly over in other stuff. And I'm about to go back and talk to the biology golf. You need to let me walk into your class and say, this is why some of you need to become agriculture students, because there's a 95% placement rate when you graduate. Can you tell me that your major right now is going to give you a 95%?
You job like that.
The other thing we did this year, we had no takers, was adopt a student program. We sent out a note to department heads or club advisors, based on the information that we had, and said, hey, what do I do? We recognize that some of you schools may not be able to bring a club team to the annual meeting. But if you can send one or two, or you're bringing one or two undergraduates, we'll adopt them to a club. So if the University of Manitoba had brought down two undergraduate students and chose this, we'd probably paired them up with Wisconsin River Falls. And even though it's a 3 days, when we did the quiz bowl, they might have been participating. You know, they might have been put on the team. We figured out how to make go longer. So they get a feel for what we do here, and they can take it back to the campus and say, that was a really good experience. I went on a tour. I saw this kind of different agriculture from what I'm used to. I have some friends now at Iowa State, and that we thought was an idea. We didn't get any traction this year. We'll hopefully try it again next year, maybe get some traction, but Christine, you're right. We got to figure out. We got to crack the nut on that. Crack the code.
Find this club. I'll certainly encourage our agronomy society to go over.
Okay. And then, as I mentioned earlier, trying to get two regional meetings so that we're not trying to ask people to drive across the country for a 2-day event. And we realize that it takes a lot to put on a regional meeting, and asking a region or a school to do it every 4 or 5 years is excessive. So if we can do this, split the country up in half, and put together regionals that people can come to in a reasonable time. At Wisconsin last year, River Falls, we had a two-day event. University of Minnesota was there, Michigan State was there, Purdue was there, Murray State out of Kentucky was there, Oklahoma State was there, Kansas State was there, Missouri was there, Iowa State was there. Am I missing anybody? Nebraska?
I don't think probably Nebraska. There's probably more than
somebody from North South Dakota came over too, didn't they?
Yeah.
So even for such a small time period, and those teams were driving 400 or 500 miles to get there. So yeah, I thought that was very encouraging, and I know I had a good time, and I think every student there had a good time. And many of those students, that was their first regional, and they're here this time. So if we can get them there, we can get more of them here. So kind of talking to this slide, I was really trying to go through those other ones quick, leave a lot of time to talk. What we're pushing is career opportunities and internship opportunities so that students can come here. This is right at the end of the recruiting season for interns and especially jobs. But what most of the employers told us was that they're really not recruiting for this year here, but they want to make contacts for next year. So some of, and they've also told us that if they can hire one student, their time here was worthwhile. So that's why we think having, I mean, one guy, Crop Protection Services, he was working it hard during the social. People would come up to him because he was there. He'd be out in the hallway here talking to them, and he was lining up his prospects. And I think the students really appreciated that. They went by and saw all these folks last night. And some of these students already had 2 or 3 job offers, but they hadn't seen some of these companies. So there were some new companies here that may not come. You know, I don't know if Pioneer goes to A&M, or Monsanto, but they come here. So some of your students are not going to have the opportunities to interview and compete for these jobs unless they're here.